Turn with me, Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, which is part 2 of the amazing salvation of God. God's salvation causes us to be amazed for eternity and causes us to be thankful to Him for eternity, causes us to live for His glory on the earth. His salvation is the means of our worship to God, worshiping God. Salvation of God is means and motivation for holiness and evangelism at the same time and of preaching as well. We preach the word of God because our God is Savior. He can save us. He can save sinners through His word. We know that Paul has done 3 missionary journeys. You know why? To proclaim this truth, that God is Savior. You are dying in your sins. Only one God that can save you, that is God the Father in Jesus Christ. He traveled many kilometers. When John G. Patton went to island of cannibals refers man-eaters. And he lost his wife and child as well. William Carey traveled from England all the way to Kolkata, which is India. And he served, he preached the gospel. Because this truth is amazing. Whoever understood this truth, whoever understood God is our Savior, they won't stop preaching the salvation of God. That's what Paul is doing with Cretans, the believers, and he is teaching Titus, you need to teach this truth, as he says in verse 8. These are the trustworthy statements that you need to teach and preach. God is our Savior. He can save you from your total depravity, from your sins. So we can read our text, Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That important phrase was for, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If you read this passage, you can sense, you can see very clearly that the amazing salvation of God. God is our Savior. The kindness of God. His love for the mankind. And verbs you see in this passage. He saved us. And you can see verse 7. Verse 5. And His mercy and His grace. That we can see amazing salvation of God in this passage. 4 truths that causes us to be amazed at His salvation. The first truth that causes us to be amazed at His salvation is the necessity of salvation, that is total depravity. We understood our condition. Paul wants to give who you are, what is your condition before you are saved. Then we have seen that 4 things of our past life, through that our total depravity and our need for salvation. Our irrational mind. Not only that, our rebellious attitude, our unescapable bondage, we have seen our unloving lifestyle. The second truth that causes us to be amazed at His salvation is the author of salvation, God the Father. That is very clear, right? From this passage, verse 4 to 5. God the Father is author. Three things that prove God is the author of salvation. The first thing we have seen, His name, which is mentioned like God our Savior. And second thing that proves He is the author of salvation, His actions. He has sent His Son. He has saved us through His Son. And not only that, we are looking at His attributes that shows, that prove God is the author of our salvation. Four attributes of God are the sources of our salvation. The first attribute of God, we have seen that His kindness, how He was kindful towards us. The second attribute, His love for humankind, His concern, His hospitality towards humankind. But today we are going to look at the third attribute of God, which is one of the sources of our salvation, is His mercy. His mercy. Look at verse 5, which says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, which shows that His mercy is a source of our salvation. Before we look at the positive thing, we need to consider the negative thing that Paul wants to give us. That so many people misunderstood about this salvation. Paul says that He did not save us on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. The idea in Greek is, again, you know, genitive of cause. It is talking about, you can translate like this, because of. So what Paul is saying here, the cause of our salvation is not our deeds which we have done in righteousness. We were not saved because of our deeds. We were not saved because of our deeds. That is not cause for our salvation. Even some people teach and preach that to be saved, you must have good works. You must fulfill the law. False teachers in Jerusalem, false teachers in Galatian region, they used to preach these things. You need to observe the Mosaic laws. You need to add your works to that. If you are denying the law of God, why did God give you the law? There is a purpose. You should follow the law. So they are confused about the purpose of the law and the purpose of the grace. So here the same problem is happening present days as well. The Paul is teaching us, Paul is reminding us, we were not saved because of our deeds and righteous acts. Our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. In Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, which says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garment. The literal meaning of filthy garment in Hebrew is menstruational clothes. I know it is a very sensitive thing, but God compared our deeds as menstruational clothes. No one would like to see that. No one would like to take privilege of that. They follow, even sisters, they follow so many. That is, they need to maintain cleanness. No one wants to boast about those things, right? So some people, they are boasting about the deeds which they have done in righteousness. But God is saying to us, Paul is reminding us, no, 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 those things are not cause for your salvation. Those things are not cause for your salvation. That's what he is saying. Even we know that the Mother Teresa, she was a social worker. She has done many ministry in India. She went to one house in Kolkata, Sardarji house. I heard this story from someone. So she went there. She was asking money from that Sardarji. Then he is saying, no, I don't want to give you. I don't want to give you. She was begging like this. Can you give some money for people like that? Then what happened? This Sardarji was chewing a pan, which is red color, right? So she is not leaving. So, okay, you show your hand. She showed her hand. Then he spitted the pan masala in her hand. She went out, she washed her hand, she came back, and again she put hands like this and asked, I gave you, no? He said, Sardarji said, I gave you, no? She said that, you gave me, but give something to your people, those who are dying, those who are facing so many diseases. She has done works, many things she has done. She got Bharat Ratna, and also she got the Nobel Prize for Peace, the many things. But no, why I am sharing these things? If she is not trusting in Christ, if her faith is not in Christ's work, those works will become filthy rags in the sight of God. Recently, I heard one Tollywood hero, he operated 3,000 heart operations for children. Then they made big banner outside. He is like God. He is doing so many operations for kids. He is giving life to them. But his faith is not in Christ. Even those works are filthy rags in the front of God. So Paul is reminding us, even brothers and sisters, even we were not saved by our righteous acts and works. He is reminding us. So what is the source of our salvation? Paul going to answer to us. See, I want to remind you. You know it, but I want to remind you how God, you were saved. Look at verse 5, which says, according to his mercy. Not because of your deeds, because of his mercy, according to. The Greek idea is source of our salvation. The source of our salvation from total depravity is his mercy. Because God is merciful, we were saved from our sins and total depravity. God is mercy. God's mercy is compassion and pity, a concern expressed for someone who is in need. His goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted, and joined with the desire to release them. That is the idea in Greek. God had kindness, goodwill, concern for those who are miserable, distressed, those who are in need. What is the need of human beings? The need of human beings is a salvation, release from our bondage of total depravity. We cannot save ourselves. That is our need. We need Savior. But what happened? God is merciful. Because of his mercy, the source of our salvation, very clearly Paul is saying, God is merciful. God, don't keep this attribute in the last, but in the first line of his whole attributes. It is as important as other attributes of God. He released us from the captivity. He has sent his son, saved us because God is merciful. God is merciful. That is the reason why we sing a song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Even though these words are talking about Jesus Christ, but these words are really connected to God the Father. Wonderful, merciful, wonderful Savior, right? We sing, right? Precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Thank you, Badal, for choosing those songs. So amazing, right? We were singing the truth about our Savior, that he is merciful Savior. Why we call him merciful Savior? Because he has concern. That is the source of our salvation. Then that leads to, again, we need to understand God is the author of our salvation because of this attribute. The fourth attribute of God, which is one of the sources of our salvation, is his grace. His grace. But I'm jumping little forward. Look at verse 7. But I will explain verse 7 later again. But I want to understand who God is. From this text, look at verse 7, which says, so that being justified by his grace. So this is fourth attribute of God, that is one of the sources of our salvation. God is gracious. God is grace. The grace is the unmerited favor of God, which is freely given to sinners. We won't deserve it, but He gave it to us freely. He gave it us to freely. There was a poor Christian brother. When he was a bachelor, he used to serve in the church faithfully. He was struggling to support his studies, and because of his poverty, he and his parents were searching for a godly woman after he got a small job. Then God provided him wife from rich family. He did not spend a single rupee on his wedding except for his clothes, small things. His father-in-law did everything, probably more than 15 goats was slaughtered for the food at that wedding. Because he is rich. I'm not saying you use that much money for a wedding, but he is rich. He can spend how much he can spend. But he has done that. His father had arranged everything. That this brother was sharing in youth meeting that I heard directly. He says that, I did not deserve anything, whatever I received from my father, which is father-in-law. This is called grace. This is called grace. He deserves a poor Christian woman, a simple marriage ceremony he deserves because of his state, but he was favored by his father-in-law. Everything he received freely. His father, which is father-in-law, is gracious to him. God has done with us the same way. We don't deserve any good things from him. But Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So we know that our condition, we were in bondage, but what happened? God, he himself showed his grace to save us. The grace of God appeared to us, manifested to us when in the incarnation of Christ. He sent his son to save us, to be with us as Emmanuel. That is because of his grace. That is because of his grace. But we won't deserve it. We won't deserve it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 reminds us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We won't deserve salvation, but God gave us his salvation. God gave his son. God gave his all things. Brothers and sisters, he saved us from total depravity by his grace alone. Earthly father, a man who can give you temporary things, but God can give you eternal things. He gave eternal things, best things, because he is gracious. We deserve eternal hell, but he gave his eternal fellowship. We deserve his wrath, but he gave us the right of being his children and daughters and sons. He serves us through Jesus Christ, even in 7 years, marriage lamp, marriage supper. Do you know that? We won't deserve it. But Christ himself, because of God the Father, he serves us at the dining table. We are going to eat. But leave about those 15 goats, tasteless compared to what God is going to serve us. What God is going to serve us through Jesus Christ. But we won't deserve it. We won't deserve it. And he is preparing a place for us to stay with him. In his presence, Christ is preparing place. Do you know? Do you believe that? I don't know. If this building is like this, I love this building. But what about the building that are being built by Jesus? How many years? I don't know how it will be. But that is not main thing. The Savior is main thing. But no, including salvation, including his fellowship, including, he is adding all those things, all those blessings, which comes in a package of salvation. In the package of salvation. That's what we need to be encouraged. That is because of his grace. That is because of his grace. Our God is gracious. Then it leads us to understand the amazing salvation of God. The thought truth causes us to be amazed at the salvation of God is the means of salvation. So we have seen that the author of salvation, that what God has done, what is his name, and what are his attributes, then we can see that the means of salvation God used the Holy Spirit to give us, to save us. Look at verse 5, part B, it says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is a simple thing, you can understand, basic thing Paul is helping. But sometimes Paul is complicated, but he is helping us very clearly, the means of our salvation. Why I am saying, look at the preposition, by, which refers to the genitive of means. He is talking, Paul explains the means of salvation. The means of salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. Why I am saying the works of Holy Spirit? Look at verse 5. You can see the works of Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. These are the works of the Holy Spirit. God uses the works of Holy Spirit to save us. He saved us through the works of the Holy Spirit. By washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. That shows that the work of God the Father is our means of salvation. Two saving works of the Spirit in us. The first saving work of the Spirit in us is He cleansed us spiritually by His power. He cleansed us spiritually by His power. Which says, verse 5, it says, the washing of regeneration. The washing literally means bathing, right? The word washing is used to here figuratively. This is freeing from sin. It is a spiritual cleansing. The saving work of the Spirit is freeing us from sin legally, positionally before God. It is called positional or legal cleansing. How you can be righteous before God unless you are pure, unless you are cleansed by God. So the Holy Spirit cleansed us. He washed us. He made, God the Father cannot see anything in us because God the Holy Spirit washed us. The important thing now we need to understand here, the washing which is produced by regeneration and renewing, which is done by the Holy Spirit. This truth demonstrates the power of Spirit. God the Spirit, He regenerates, renewing us, that shows His power. He is giving life to dead, right? Dead people. That shows He is powerful God. So we can say that the first saving work of the Spirit in us is He cleansed us spiritually by His power. By His power. It is important, right? Cleansing, washing. Even Paul talks, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He talks about washing. Such were some of you, but you were washed. Again, same context. Here also same context. That no, he talks about our past life. Then he is telling God the Spirit washed us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11, same thing. Such were some of you, you were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of our God. So God the Spirit washes us, cleanses us. He has done that work. He has done that work. A sinner must be washed, cleansed, freed from sin before God if that person wants to be stand in the front of God as righteous person. God the Spirit cleanses sinners spiritually. Two similar actions that He did to cleanse us spiritually. It is not very different, but similarity is there. Two similar actions of the Holy Spirit. The first action that He did to cleanse us spiritually is He gave us a new birth. He gave us a new birth. Look at verse 5, which says, washing of regeneration. Regeneration produces spiritual cleansing. There is not so much time gap between washing and regeneration. When He gives regeneration, when He gives new birth, the cleansing happens at that point. So I am not saying so much gap is there. It happens one by one, together, But regeneration is beginning, giving, raising dead person from his deadness. So that starts. He gives new birth to sinners who are dead spiritually. The Holy Spirit works directly on the heart of man and changes its condition. That is called giving new birth. God, the Holy Spirit, can do that work. No one can do that. He has done it. Some references help us to understand the beauty of regeneration. The first we need to understand about regeneration is it is compulsory to enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said in John Gospel chapter 3 verse 5. He says that truly, truly I say to you. Why he is repeating truly, truly? Because it is important statement. Very true, very true. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Not only that, it is not of human will and human effort. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 13 says, we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is not our will. This is not our effort. This is not coming from generations to generations. Not only that, it changes the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. We used to have the heart of stone, but what God the Holy Spirit did in us is he gave us a heart of flesh. Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 19. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them heart of flesh. But we need to understand, right, when it will happen. When it will happen, how we can recognize? Is there any example in the Bible that we can see regeneration of the Holy Spirit in life? But I can take you there. When the Holy Spirit regenerated one lady, the example of Lydia. You know Lydia? If you read Acts chapter 16 verse 14, which says that a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshipper of God, was listening. Then important phrase, the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Can you see that? The Lord opened her heart. That is called regeneration. The Holy Spirit gave new birth to Lydia to respond to the truth of the gospel. Then, you know, another incident, even though it is parable, we can see from that passage the example of a prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 20, we can see, but when he come to his senses, then in verse 8, he is saying, I will get up and go to my father, will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your slaves. So he got up and came to his father. What happened before? Before he was in bondage, suddenly something happened, miracle happened, that is by the Holy Spirit. Senses, when he came to senses, when the Lord opened our heart, that is called regeneration. The Holy Spirit working in that time. When Holy Spirit gives you new birth, life in your heart, and what happens, you respond to God. See, immediately after his regeneration of prodigal son, he is confessing of his sins. He is remembering the privileges, the greatness of his father. Then he wants to run away. Immediately he ran away to the father. How it happened? The Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. He is doing amazing job. But unfortunately, charismatic church members are false teachers, misuses about his ministry. But unfortunately, even biblical churches are not giving prominence to this God, who is third person in Trinity, We won't recognize His greatness, His work, what He is doing in us. Without Him, we were not saved. Without Him, we were not saved. He gave us life. Gave us life. Even Paul called it a miracle of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. It is a miracle. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He has done miracle, that is giving new birth to us. New birth to us. The second similar action that He did to cleanse us spiritually is He made us a new creation. He gave us new birth. The second action, He made us a new creation. Renewing by the Holy Spirit in verse 5. The meaning of the word renewal is renovation. Complete change for the better. It refers to transformation which follows the new birth, which is the action by which a person becomes spiritually new, completely new. Old is gone, new has come. He made us a new person, new creation by doing this. He has done that. If you have a useless old building, if you have it, what will you do? You don't want to stay in that house, right? Because the elements of the roof were falling down, pillars were shaky. You don't know when it will fall. Then what you will do? You will renew. You construct again whatever old things are there. But here it is better than this. The better idea that Paul is using, completely making us new. Completely making us new. Our old nature, our life was old like old buildings. The Holy Spirit renewed our souls. He caused us to become completely new, to become completely different, the new person. That's what the idea that Paul is bringing to us and helping us. The brothers and sisters, the spiritual cleansings of the Spirit happen in us as a result of giving new birth, as a result of giving new, making us as new creation. But no, I am not saying when it happens, but it happened together at a time, same time. But don't ask me how much gap between washing and regeneration and renewal. It happens at the time, at that moment. But first of all, you need to born again, right? You must be alive. So that process happened. The great truth Paul is giving us. He is giving glory to God the Son, God the Father. Here he is giving glory to God the Spirit as well. As well. The second saving work of the Spirit in us is not only He cleansed us spiritually by His power, and also He blessed us richly through our Savior. He blessed us richly through our Savior. Look at verse 6. Whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now He mentions Jesus is our Savior. Before He mentions God the Father is our Savior, through Savior, God the Holy Spirit blessed us. How? He says richly, richly. Paul was not satisfied with the truth above the works of the Spirit. He wanted to tell other saving works of the Spirit. Paul says that God the Father poured out the Spirit upon us. The word poured out, we need to take metaphorically, figuratively, that to cause fully experience of His blessings, His services. What Paul is saying is amazing, brothers and sisters. God caused us to experience all His blessings through the Holy Spirit. Fully, fully. The idea is we experience all His services and gifts and blessings that we received from the Holy Spirit. This shows that His second saving work of the Spirit in us is blessing us richly, or serving us richly through our Savior. But why I'm saying through our Savior? Look at the phrase, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Greek idea is agency. By Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, the third person in Trinity, is able to bless us and serve us. So through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is working. We know, right? I will send the Spirit, Comforter, Helper. He went, He ascended into the heaven, and He has sent the Holy Spirit. But we know that when it happened, first of all, at the Pentecost, right? But here He is not talking about Pentecost thing here, because He is talking with the brothers in Crete, right? He is saying that very clearly, that He poured out upon us. Us refers to even all believers. That means He started His service at the Pentecost, but He is doing still now. He is blessing all believers, all sinners, those who are trusting in Him. That's what He is saying. Note this point, brothers and sisters. Very important. God blesses us in the Spirit by Jesus Christ. We see that the involvement of the triune God in our salvation. The triune God works for us. God is Savior. The Son is Savior. The Holy Spirit also Savior. When we think about His works, washing, regenerating, and also renewing us. That shows that the Holy Spirit Himself is our Savior. The ways that we are blessed by the Spirit, we can see from different passages how God the Holy Spirit blessing us. The first way He blessed us, first way that we are being blessed by the Spirit, He dwells in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, which says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And even 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19, He says same things. Your body is a temple of Holy Spirit who is in you. 1 John chapter 4 verse 13 says, "By which we know that we abide in Him and He is in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." The idea is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the indwelling of God the Father. Do you know that? Through God the Spirit, God the Father indwells in us. That's what 1 John chapter 4 verse 13 is saying. Can you see amazing blessings that we are receiving from God the Spirit? God the Spirit. He dwells in us. But one of the works of the indwelling Spirit is interceding for us, right? He intercedes for us. He intercedes to God, Abba Father. Because we are not able to pray according to the will of God, but He prays to God. He intercedes for us. He calls for our sake, Abba Father. That is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. We can see that. You can read later. The second way that we are blessed by the Spirit is He guarantees our salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, "God, who also sealed us, gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." The seal is referring to mark with a seal as a means of identification. You know that bank locks the door and puts a seal on it, right? If someone is not paying debt loan, they come to your house and they will tell you, you go out, then they will make one seal. That shows that identification. No one should touch, no one should enter in this house. That house belongs to bank. The same idea. He sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means God the Father is saying that this property, Vikas and this person and Pradeep and Vijay, whoever it is, this is my property because I sealed with the Holy Spirit. So no one should touch. So that shows that guarantee of our salvation, right? He is faithful. He is faithful. So when God sealed us with this seal of the Holy Spirit, that He is proving that He is faithful Savior. He won't leave us. And we can see a pledge as well, right? The pledge is a down payment. The money which in purchases, in given as a pledge, that the full payment will subsequently be paid. That is the idea. If someone paid installment, that means he will pay remaining amount. It is like similar to engagement ring, right? Then no, if you are going to marry bachelors, you give ring, right, first. That means I will marry you. Don't think I will forsake you. I will come again. That shows guarantee. I will come. I will look after you. I will marry you. I will serve you. So it is like similar to engagement ring. Like no, down payment, installment that God has given to us through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Can you see the blessings of the Holy Spirit? What He is doing? But no, we forget these truths. We won't like to teach these kind of truths. But people are looking after like miracles and tongues and wasting time with those things. But we need to teach great truths, the great works of the Holy Spirit. Then it shows that He guarantees our salvation. Not only that, He guides us into the truth. See that, what He is doing. He illuminates us, right? When preacher is preaching, when you are reading the scripture, He helps us. He helps you to understand what He is saying. He is doing that. Still He is doing miracles, right? Still He is doing miracles. But we think that the Holy Spirit is not doing miracles. But He is doing other miracles, which people won't like. He is giving new birth. He is renewing us. He is changing our heart. He is helping us to understand the scripture. He is a good teacher. So that's why Paul, he is not able to bring all those truth about the Holy Spirit. Just he said that He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Just he summarized. I am bringing those things. But I don't have time to bring all the works of the Holy Spirit. But just I want to give you that. Not only that, He will give life to our dead bodies, right? Do you know that? He accomplishes our salvation even physically also. He will give life to our dead bodies. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Can you see that? He is going to give you life to your dead bodies. We know that God the Father will raise us from dead. We know the fact that Jesus Christ will raise us from the dead. But we should know the fact the Holy Spirit will raise us from the dead. God the Father poured out upon us richly the blessings of the Holy Spirit. There are many works of the Spirit, but I have given you His blessings, which causes our salvation, right? Another thing is, we know that baptism of the Spirit, He incorporated us, He added us into the body of Christ. We became member of the whole body of Christ because God the Spirit has done this work. So this is the blessings, two works, two saving works of the Spirit that we received from the Holy Spirit. He cleansed us spiritually by His power. The second saving work is He blessed us richly through our Savior. Now we move on. The fourth truth that causes us to be amazed at the salvation of God is the purpose of salvation. We have seen that the necessity of salvation, the author of salvation, and means of salvation. The finally, fourth one, the purpose of salvation. Why did God save us? You have this doubt? Paul is going to explain to us why He saved us. Look at verse 7, which says, "So that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So that refers the purpose. So that refers the goal and aim of salvation. See, God is not doing namke vaste. He did not save us. Ah, okay, I saved. Then I can show something. Yeah, I am Savior, I am Savior. But He has purpose. That's why, you know, whatever work we do, we must have purpose, right? Why you are doing that work? I don't know. See, you should not say that. See, our God has purpose for every work of His. So He has purpose of our salvation, that is to make us His heirs. To make us His heirs. Three things concerning His heirs we see in this verse. The first thing concerning His heirs is the qualification to become His heirs. The qualification to become His heirs. He is saying that we are being justified by His grace. So that shows who will become heirs of God? One who is being justified by grace. That is the qualification. If someone is seeking righteousness, justification by his works, he is not qualified to be God's child. One who is justified by grace, that person is qualified to become His heirs. That is the first thing that Paul is talking here. We know that justification by faith, that shows God declares sinners as righteous before Him. He cannot see any fault, any sin in that person, because we know that the righteousness of Christ covered you and me. When God the Father sees me, see you, He sees through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, He lived His life on the earth. He obeyed God the Father to give His righteousness to us. So He covered us with His righteousness. That's why God can say loudly in front of Satan, in front of all the world, this person is righteous before me because of my Son. So that person is qualified to be His child, His heirs. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is saying. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Verse 24 says, "Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." Through the saving works of the Holy Spirit. According to this passage, that God makes us righteous. God declares us righteous. What a great blessing. You know, right, how much sinful you are. You know your past condition. You know people don't respect you because of your sins. If you think about your past life. But what God has done, being kind and merciful, gracious God, He declares that you are righteous. Because of the work of Jesus, because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Can you see that triune God working and loving you and me to give great blessings? Not only the condition to become His heirs, the qualification. The second thing concerning His heirs is the privileges of being His heirs. Look at the word heirs. The word heirs is those who receive their allotted positions by right of sonship. All of us received our positions from God by having the right of sonship. How it happened? God adopted us. God made us His sons and daughters and heirs because we trusted in the Son of God. Because the Holy Spirit gave us new birth. Because Holy Spirit cleansed us. Because Holy Spirit blessed us. What happened? Result of that, we got privilege to become His sons and daughters. Again, we can see that some facts about the sonship because of Christ. The first thing, you can see, you are fellow heirs with Abraham. That's what text is saying. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. But people boast about Abraham, right? Abraham, a father of faith, right? Then that song was there, right? Song is there. Father Abraham has many sons. Can you see that? I am very bad in singing in English language. But you understand, right? Being children of Abraham is something different. Because God has chosen Abraham from all nations through him. He has chosen Isaac and Jacob. Through him, the Son of God come through. Abraham is something different God, because of God. He has selected Abraham. But the privilege, privilege that we have, we became sons of Abraham, not only sons of Abraham, brothers of Abraham. Can you see that? Because we are sons of God, Abraham is son of God, small letter, huh? Son of God. Then what happened? We are brothers. God made it. God made it because of faith. Because of faith. Not only that, you are fellow heirs with Christ. Leave about a chota person. Chota guy, we can say that in small way. That is a small person compared to Jesus Christ. We are fellow heirs with Christ himself. The great I am. The great I am. Romans chapter 8 verse 17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. God gave that privilege. Can you see that privilege? Not only that, you will receive a great inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Then he talks about living hope, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So we will receive inheritance because of this privilege. God made it. Not only that, you will rule the kingdom with Jesus Christ. So another blessing, great blessing. So you are kings, right? Bible says that you are kings under great king Jesus Christ. When he rules the kingdom, he gives partnership, small partnership to rule India, to rule America, whatever you want. I don't know which city he is going to give, what responsibilities that he is going to give. I don't know totally. It depends on Christ. It depends on your faithfulness on the earth. But the thing is, whether you receive great responsibility, small responsibility, but you have responsibility. You are ruling with Christ. Where I am getting these things? James chapter 2 verse 5, which says, listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? When he talks about division in the church, and the rich people were oppressing poor people. The last Bible study, we have seen that, how rich people oppress not only worldly people, even church members are oppressing poor people in the church. In that case, he is reminding, James is reminding, hello, listen, listen, what God has done, do you know? He made poor people, poor brethren, to rule with Christ, to rule with Christ. That's what he is saying. He blessed them. Don't think they are small people. Don't think they are poor people. But God blessed them. Because they are heirs of God. Because of his grace. What a privilege, brothers and sisters. We can talk more and more from this passage. But you will kill me. Why you are preaching so long? So I can speak. I can do part 3 also. By bringing more things. But enough is enough. It is sufficient to understand our great Savior, the amazing Savior. What a privilege. What a privilege. We were enemies to God and slaves to sins, enslaved to our sinful desires and passions, but he made us his children. It is like you are in orphanage. The one loving person and rich man came with his wife and he has selected you. He gave you sonship in his home and he made you CEO of one of his companies. Can you imagine? You are an orphan. You are eating every day pickle and watery dal every day. But what happened? Rich man, rich father came. He has selected you, gave his house and luxury, one flat he has given. Or you can say one big room he has given. Then big bed and AC rooms. Then no, he made him as CEO of one of his companies. And he is equal with his children as well. The same thing God has done with us, brothers. Can you sense that? Can you see the love of God, love of Father that he has done? It will help us to run away from sins, right? So that is the motivation. Can you see chapter 3 verse 1? He says that be a good citizens of the world. Then he talks about for... also, once were foolish, the verse 2, do good deeds, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Then what happened? God saved you. God saved you. So you should be a good citizen in the world, you should have good duties in the world because of your privileges. See, it is not like if you beat Noah as a pastor, do it, what will happen? So many times my professors taught me in class, preaching class, don't beat, encourage them. But there are sometimes you need to say sins. I am not saying don't be very shy person, fearful person. But when it is there, but mostly, no, you need to encourage people to pursue holiness by telling their privileges, what God has done. Can you see that? You have this privilege, you can work hard in PTS. You can work hard in your godliness. You can love Him more than anyone because He has given that. That privilege. Bondage to sonship, uselessness to usefulness, unprivileged to privileged, dishonor to honored. God is calling you my sons and daughters. What a privilege. What a privilege, right? But we feel very privileged, right? Yeah, He is son of Pastor Sammy. He is son of one of the son of Pastor Chris. Then no, He is granddaughter of Trump. Granddaughter was sharing, right, something after winning election, that she was telling about grandpa, he's nice. Those things are okay. But what about this privilege being called as sons of God because of God? But look at our past condition. He saved us from our bondage. It helps us to worship. The third thing concerning His heirs is the standard to become His heirs. According to the hope of eternal life, we might become God's heirs according to the standard of the hope that is produced by eternal life. If you have eternal life, you have hope, right? Eternal life itself characteristic by eternal, right? You have hope. Based on that hope, the standard of that hope, that you became heirs to God, heirs of God. If the eternal life is only for this life, we must pity on us, right? Eternal life is for the future also. We have hope in the triune God for our future. One of the hopes is to enjoy the rights of being His heirs. Can you see that? We have hope according to that hope, the standard of that hope. We became heirs of God. What an amazing salvation that we have. What an amazing God we have. We have seen that the necessity and author of salvation, the means of salvation, the purpose of salvation. Are you preaching this message? Are you living out this message, brothers and sisters? Work out your salvation with fear and tremble, and you have different duties. Older women, you have duties. Older men, you have duties. Younger men and pastors, all of us have duties. The motivation is the gospel message. The motivation is the amazing salvation of God. When you understand, then it will help us. It will help you to do right thing. One of missionaries who came to India, Jigan Ball, who was first missionary who came to India from Germany, translated Bible into Tamil. His work opposed by Hindus and by other communities. He was put in jail for 4 months for accusation that he was converting the local people. He was put in jail for 4 months. He suffered because of climate condition in India. Then he wrote maybe to local church that he said, my skin was like a red cloth. The heat here is very great, especially during April, May and June. Pastor Sammy knows, if you go in summer, it's like burning only. The same thing he felt. In which season, the wind blows from inland so strongly that it seems as if the heat comes straight out of the oven. So he felt like that. That is true. Even I went to do internship in Pastor Jacob Church. I did not sleep all night. I used to sleep early morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, then wake up little late. That so many problems I faced because I should go to on time for breakfast because he is systematic. So what happened, no? That is true. He went through hardship. I can sense that because I have been there. But he was troubled by ill health in his entire life, a condition that became worse by his work in his mission field. But he served 13 years in India, especially in Chennai, Tamil Nadu. He died on 23 February 1719 at the age of 36. At the age of 36. So he was quite a young man, but he served the Lord. He completed entire New Testament and Genesis to the Book of Ruth, he completed. The another missionary came after him. He has done remaining work. Godly men named their children after his name, Zeke and Paul. You know, Pastor Jacob, he put his son name is Zeke and Paul, out of love for this faithful man. So the idea why I'm sharing this man's biography and service, he came here to preach the amazing salvation of God. So that is the motivation. Otherwise, no one will come. No one will come. He has desire in his heart that people in India are dying in their sins. I want to go there. I want to preach my great Savior, amazing Savior, so that they can see, they can get this privilege being heirs of Him. God may give us strength and grace and mercy to preach the amazing Savior. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. Lord, so many times we won't think about this work of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for regenerating us by your grace. Thank you, Lord, for declaring us as righteous before you, Lord, who is holy, holy, holy. Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving us from our wretched sins and giving us great privileges. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to preach your word, especially preaching your gospel, Lord. God the Father, we thank you. God the Spirit, we thank you. God the Son, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all your ministry that you have done to save us and help these brothers and sisters to stand for this truth, to preach this truth. Be with us, Lord, for your glory. Jesus' name I pray.